Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And this is a glorious day that the Lord has made. You know, the Lord is moving, and I thank God for the things he's doing. I thank God for his handiwork. You know, the fact that Roe versus Wade got overturned, that's indicative of a great revival that I already knew was going forward. And this is why I say that. It takes people that love God to break through the evil of this world. You know, it's important. It's not just a political victory. It's a national victory. Even the people that kind of law should be against the law. That will lead the nation into a greater form of bondage, unlike the which it's never seen before. That's what sin does. Now, a lot of millions and millions of people have already died because of abortion. But the breakthrough is good. That helped us. Now, God still has to judge wickedness, and he will. And sin is not free. So when people sin, they do it on purpose. It's not an accident. So God has grace on us because he loves us so much. And I love people too. I love everybody. And I want people to go to heaven. But you got to choose to go to heaven. And God loves us. But I thank God for the victory. And I thank God for all the people who pray against evil and seek the Lord to alert people to heaven. Because when we bear fruit, the church grows. When we bear fruit, it gives people a chance to see the truth of things. Everybody's been lied to. Everybody has been lied to. And the last week's broadcast, I've been talking about how the enemy tried to control the narrative. First through false religion, salvation by works, and then science, false science. Paul had to write about false science. The enemy was trying to control the narrative. And last week we explained about how kings in the Dark Ages, if you didn't agree with the king and the science of the day, which was controlled thought, if you said something different, you could get killed. And, you know, so people, change happens slow. But guess what? I want to show you something about freedom. Today is July the 4th, 2022, also known as the 4th of July. Anyway, this is the day in 1776 America won its freedom. So it's called Independence Day. Now, once freedom was established, and then they could come here from wherever they were. People from all over the world came here, mostly Europe. But they had a free place to come to, and they could build their life. They could worship Jesus. And you know, they didn't have to worry about a king telling them what they could and couldn't do. And they were able to explore better ideas than serving a king. See, in a kingdom, a human kingdom, if let's say, like I'm an auto mechanic, and I paint cars and I can fix engines and things like that. Now let's say if I was somewhere where there was a dictator, and I painted a car real good and made it look good and made it run fast. Well, somebody had told the king, you know, it always happens. They'll tell the king, well, I want him to be my mechanic. Now, he'll take me, give me a place he want me to live, but I'll have to fix his cars and whatever he had and his army or whatever for the rest of my life, whether I want to or not. So under a dictatorship or any kingdom, sometimes people wanted to serve the king. They were patriots. I understand that. And sometimes they hid their skills and their beautiful daughters. And because they didn't want that, they wanted to keep the business in their own family. If you did too good a job, you had to go serve the king and would do whatever he say. Or you're an enemy of the state. But see, when America won its freedom, people were able to come here and build their businesses, and you know, it's a beautiful thing, and the country just blossomed. I mean, within a few hundred years, it was the strongest nation in the world. And even in World War II, a high percentage of our ships got destroyed, and we were able to build back and win the war in another country, and that never happened before. You got to build the ships, muster the troops, train them, make enough guns, ammunition, food supply. You know, people don't know what we were up against in World War I and II. Then you had to cross the ocean with those German U-boats. That was very accurate. And then you had to go to a land you did not know and then fight with the Allies. Still won. And God was with us. That's the real reason we won. But freedom had a high part to play too, because it's important. Now, the Lord's going somewhere else with this. I just had, I got to talking about the 4th of July, and here we are. But anyway, God loves us. That's the main thing. The Lord put on my heart, going beyond. When we receive what God has to say, we go beyond what we're used to. Not just the bad stuff, but the good stuff too. We go beyond it. We use it. We receive the good things in life. But the Lord can introduce us to greater things. And some people will say, well, wait a minute, what's better than the Word? It's not that, it's more of the Word. It's, you're able to measure it in a greater way. You're able to see more of the Word. You're able to see more of the Holy Spirit's intended message in the Word. And it's like this. I wrote a song one time, and I was singing. I said, Lord, this song needs something else. And I heard the angel sing, the power of life is the love we live. The more we love, the more we live. The word of God is the knowledge of love. The more we love, we live in Him. And I heard this, and that was just what that song needed. And then I forgot it. I said, Lord, give it back. And then it came back again. I heard it a second time. The power of life is the love we live. The more we love, the more we live. The word of God is the knowledge of love. The more we love, we live in Him. And that just gave the song that tipping point that it needed. And there's another verse just like it. But anyway, in those days I wasn't singing, and I never called myself a singer, but I really wasn't trying to learn how. The Lord gave me a song recently, and I'm working on it, and I'm going to record it. And that'll be the second one that I recorded. A friend of mine has a studio, and I'm going to record this. And I've been practicing using my voice to make the song sound like I wanted to. Now, just like I had to stop believing that I can't sing, I had to go back to the scripture. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I was talking to my friend Charles Wilson. He was in the band with us years ago. In fact, he helped start the whole thing. And he still sings, and he's a wonderful musician. He can play anything. And I was talking to him Saturday. He said that, I never tried to sing because I just thought I couldn't sing. And then he said, well, you made a choice that you couldn't sing. But actually, you can do anything you want to do. He was talking to me that way. He said, sometimes when people don't try, that's the choice that they made. And he's right. You got to do something with the talents God gives. You have to go beyond. You can't just say, well, I wasn't successful in the past, I can't do it. That's a lie. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The point is, you got to go beyond. And the way we go beyond, we look to Jesus. And all the obstacles in our way, we can receive from Jesus how to destroy those obstacles. And I've done it in other situations. You know, just because it don't come easy don't mean you can't do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then I'm going to read the forgotten scripture. And let's see. Now, this is St. John 15. I call there's a portion of St. John 15. It's really it's a forgotten portion of a scripture. And it's very important that people stop forgetting it. And he said, brother, verse 8. Here it is, verse 5. St. John 15, verse 5. I'm going to read the forgotten scripture. Now, the first part, everybody knows it. That reads the word and loves it. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Jesus is getting something straight with us. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And that's to be expected. Now, watch the forgotten part. For without me, Jesus is talking, you can do nothing. And the opposite of that is true. With me, you can do all things. Jesus was quite frank with us. And one day the Lord spoke to me. He said, you need to be more frank with people. He used one of our terms to get a point over. And you know what? You can learn from the Lord if you're quite frank with him. If you tell him precisely how you feel about things, then you can get somewhere. Now, sometimes people act the way God think they want them to act, and they're not being honest with God. I'm not trying to tell grown people what to do, but we all need to be honest with the Lord. The Lord told Job, talk to me like a man. And sometimes a person can actually get religiously humble and not be dedicated to what God is doing. They're trying to sound right or act right or do what they think God wants them to do, but their heart really is not in what they're trying to do. And there are so many times that I had to make adjustments. I said, you know, I read the word, I saw it. And I remember the part about turning the other cheek. I used to read that over and over and over again because I was not in agreement. But one day I thought to myself, I said, look, now you asked Jesus to save you. You asked the Lord to save you and you believed on Jesus Christ and he saved you. Now Jesus is your savior. So just do what he said, do. That's what I said to myself. I said, it's not right to just trust him as a savior and then pick out what you're going to do. No, if you're going to follow Jesus, do what he said, do. I said, it's a good reason in this. I just didn't see it. So as I talked to the Lord about it, years later, I think it was, you know, I never really dealt with, I never went and said, you know, Lord, what about this scripture? I didn't do that. I just said, well, I said to myself, if he said it, that's good enough for me. I'm going to do this. And in a pinch, that's what I'll do if that's what I have to do. And I remember in those days, it seemed like some people were afraid to fight. And they kind of used that scripture to dodge a fight. But I don't believe in being cowardly at all. And I stopped running from fights. But nevertheless, I said, if I don't fight, it's because I love God. It's not because I'm afraid of somebody or afraid of getting hurt. And sometimes I was more afraid of what I would do to the person that bothered me. And I didn't want to be that way. I didn't want to fight because I wanted to honor Christ. I wanted to win souls. And I almost got in a fight. And I was at my limit. And I talk about that fight all the time. But I learned so much from what happened that moment. At my weakest moment, the Lord spoke to me and said, everlasting love to love a man whether he does you good or whether he does you evil. And when the Lord spoke that, I was strengthened. I was able to love my friend. We were not enemies. He just made me mad at him that day. And I was, and he provoked me and I was getting kind of torqued. So I was, and before that, I talk about how I didn't fight that time. But one day, me and my best friend was at work, and we was horse playing, and I got mad at him, and we got in a fight. So I would fight. And he was stronger than me, and he could run faster than me. But I was so angry, I almost hit him in the ears. And I said, no, he is my friend. And I didn't do it. You know, I'm a baby Christian, you know. But that day that me and my buddy Barry almost, it was more like a tussling match than a fist fight. It was more tussling than throwing blows. But anyway, I said, Lord, I'm strong. He's stronger. We don't need to be acting like that. I need to represent you, and we don't need to be doing it. And I said, bless us to never do that again. And we never fought again. And I said all that to say this, even, you know, just because you love God, if you were feisty, you still got a feisty brain. And you just like the man that was an alcoholic, he gets saved, but he still got the same stomach. He has to work some things out and work some things through. So in order for me to go beyond, I was more motivated to do it God's way than to do it my way. But I just didn't have any strength when it came to Slim. And the Lord spoke the word to me, and it charged my heart like a battery. And I said, man, I'm going to go buy us a drink. We're going to talk about it. We don't need to be out here doing this. And people had gathered around to see this brawl, you know, that was about to happen. And I was surprised when the words came out of my mouth. I wasn't even angry no more. It surprised me. It surprised him. It surprised all the spectators. And I went and bought a drink, and we talked about it. We laughed about it. And on the way home, I said, Lord, teach me to love your people. Now, that's why I bring it up so much. I say at my weakest moment, I was able to do all things through Christ. Now, what I actually did, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I turned the other cheek. But he didn't pop me upside the head, so I didn't see it as turning the other cheek. I was provoked. I felt provoked. I was angry. But I turned the other cheek by saying, hey, I'm going to go buy a drink. We're going to talk about it. I bought him a drink, bought me one, we talked about it. And laughed about it and forgave each other and continued forward. And I learned a lesson that changed my life. And, you know, I was working at Ernest McCarty Ford in 87 when that happened. Just got called to preach, too. He wanted a preacher going to fight somebody. Anyway, I got saved in 83. Got called to the ministry that year in that spring, in the same season. And I realized that when he found out I got called to the ministry, he was testing me. I realized that by the Holy Spirit. Years, it took me a long time to figure out why he did what he did. He was about 15, 20 years older than me. He was grown. I was, you know, 24 or 5, I guess. But anyway, he was probably almost 40 years old. I don't know. But anyway, because he had worked in the mines before. When the mines closed, he worked at Ernest McCarty. But anyway, I thank God for what I learned after that situation. Turning the other cheek is worth it. So when I asked the Lord to teach me to love his people, I went far beyond. I saw more of the word than I ever seen in my life. The Lord gave me all kind of revelation about love, about people, visions, dreams, understanding, conversations. And in those days, I didn't dialogue with the Lord like I did. That didn't happen till really early in 91. And in 1990, the Lord had me, he changed my study habits September, October of 1990. He had me to study 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, 5, and I talk about it so much in many other broadcasts. And after about 3 months, I was worshiping the Lord and talked to him. I had questions. And I finally had enough in his presence, when he would reveal his presence to me, I had enough stamina and enough word in me to ask questions so I could get an answer. And I was quite frank with the Lord again. and I asked him my questions. I didn't forget my questions that I was going to ask. All the other times prior to that, when I would be in the presence of the Lord, I would forget all my questions. And I relate that to when Daniel was in the presence of the angel and he kept fainting and he couldn't talk to the angel. And then even Mary said, "How can I? What kind of salutation is this? How can I talk to you?" You know, in the presence of the Lord, you can't compose yourself. But when you have, if you feel with the word, that's just like when the angel that looked like a man touched Daniel, that gave him strength. Then he said, he was cognizant. You know, he could talk. He could relate. He could hear. So when that happened for me, I was able to ask questions, and then the Lord could talk to me. Now, I'm in his presence. Most of the time, I just fall out on the floor and lay down quiet. Forgot all my questions. I just can't do nothing but lay down on the floor. I'm out. Just like they do at church. But I was at home. All the other time, I'm laid out. I can't remember nothing but just enjoy the peace of God. But when your heart is filled with the word, that's just like when the angel touched you. And I was able to ask my questions in a sober way and hear him speak. And then I started dialoguing. But way back in 87, he would teach me and he would give me understanding. It wasn't like he was talking. Sometimes he did talk. But most time he would transfer knowledge to me. He would give me insights. But it was so much better after I filled my heart with the word. Sometimes when people have a gift, they need not just fast and pray. I've seen people do that. They'll just fast and pray. That's what tradition does. That's what the elders do. That's what the preachers do. They pray a lot, you know, and especially in the 80s, they would pray for hours. But I'm going to tell you something. Not belittling prayer. Prayer is wonderful. They did a lot of praying, but they did a lot of begging too. But the wisest, you know, some would just listen to the Lord. But if you fill your heart with his word, if you fill your heart with his word continually, it's so much easier to get an understanding and operate in it. And it worked so well, I thought everybody could do it. And they can. And they were hearing from God. You know, and they had a relationship with the Lord. So I thought I thought everybody could hear. Like I found out you can. Some did, some not so much. When you go beyond, I'm going to put it this way. I gave a word to a church in Pratt City that it should be commonplace that everybody walk and talk with the Lord. It shouldn't be everybody, they pray and don't hear his voice and they don't walk and talk with it. Every child of God should walk and talk with the Lord and receive information. That's supposed to be commonplace, but it's not. And it should, especially now, because more knowledge has been given through men and women of God. And to have that kind of relationship, if you do what I did, it'll work. See, before 1990, fall of 1990, I didn't study chapters as much as I studied scriptures. In fact, it could be a very long time before I read a whole chapter. If God gave me a message, I might read a chapter, five scriptures with my concordance. I might read the setting to make sure I was accurate and make my outline. Now, what's wrong with that picture? Those were wise things to do. And that was all I knew to do. Because before the fall of 1990, I didn't read chapters. So my perspective was based on the few scriptures that I understood. And the Lord worked with me and compensated me and caused me to do what he needed the best he could. He got a lot out of me in those days. When I read my notes of old, God was working with me. And it was the Holy Ghost. And it was accurate. But when I kept drawing near to him, I didn't just skim over the word, I was receiving it. Sometimes I would spend an hour. Now I got to read 15 chapters every day. And in the morning, I would read 5. And sometimes the Lord would talk to me. We'll dialogue after he started talking to me and dialoguing with me. We might talk an hour on one verse. And then I still got to read my 5 chapters or finish before I go to work. So I got up early and I would do that and take my time and listen. Then I would go and work. Now, I didn't read 5 in the middle of the day like I was supposed to. I rarely did that, being honest. When I get through working, 8, 9 o'clock at night, I will come in the house and eat something. And before I go to bed, I would be so tired, and I wasn't going to sleep till I read my chapters. I would literally get my Bible and walk in a circle in the living room until I read 10 more chapters. And that was the best I could do. Now, that was days that I did read the 5 in the middle of the day. So then I could read 5 at night. And the Lord would choose the chapters. And, you know, at first I chose them, and then he'd choose them. He was able to steer me when he chose the chapters. And some were short. Sometimes I could read one of the Psalms that was short. And they ministered to me. All of the word ministered to me. But I read those chapters. If I read a bunch of chapters, I might read a few extra ones if they were short. Or if I was interested, I'd read even longer. Now, when technology got better, I got the Bible on a CD. And I had a CD player in my pocket, one of those Walkman CD players. I mean, tape players. Yeah, it was a cassette tape player. And they had the New Testament, and I bought the New Testament on cassette. And I had that cord going down my shirt trying to work on tractors and stuff. I'm listening to the word all day. Then I had to turn the tape around. Well, eventually they made the Bible on MP3 player. I still had that cord going through my shirt. Then I found out about Bluetooth. And so I got a cell phone and put the Bible app on. The first cell phone wouldn't hold the Bible, so when they got better, I put the Bible on the cell phone, got a Bluetooth. Man, I was in heaven on earth. And I listen to books of the Bible now. And when I'm working, I listen to. What I'm saying, the theme is going beyond. This is what you do to go beyond the normal. If God is with you now and you go beyond, you're going to learn so much more in a much faster rate. And the Lord will train you to do these wonderful things, and you won't get in pride. You'll be useful to the kingdom of God. So it's important to go beyond. When people don't go beyond, they end up going backwards. The Lord told me one time, he said, there's only two types of mind, a renewed mind and a deceived mind. You have to renew it continually. You have to go forward so your mind can cooperate with your heart. Now, In the Lord gave me one verse in Judges chapter 6. He said, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites 7 years. This is what happens when people get caught up in the world. But when you go forward, you're unstoppable. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that's our heritage. I'm out of time, Lord. It's our heritage to go forward and do the greater things and not surrender to the things of this world. Israel had a covenant with God, forgot the covenant time and time again in the days of the judges. And they got to a low point where God had to give them over to the hand of their enemies. But see, this is what's going on in the world system. In Revelation, the Lord's going to hand over, you know, after he's going to move his people out of the way, And then people who love wickedness, that's the purpose of the Antichrist, to suck down all the wicked that he can. But remember something, Satan has no covenant. And we have covenant authority over Satan. And we're supposed to love the people that actually hate us, because God is trying to win souls. And every soul is precious to God. We're supposed to be praying for the Jewish nations. We're supposed to be blessing them. We're supposed to honor them. We're supposed to love our enemies. We're supposed to stop Satan cold. Because God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, which means don't let the enemy have it. Replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. We're supposed to have dominion, not Satan. So, if we go beyond, we can do all those wonderful things. It's not hard. It's not hard to go to the next glory. And everybody that do, they're gonna do what Daniel said. They that know the Lord will be strong and do exploits. The wicked are gonna do wicked, and they're not gonna understand. That's two facts about wicked people. They will do wickedly, and they will not understand. So it's important that we understand and go forward, do all that's in God's heart. It's our heritage. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord.